Good Sunday morning, Jacksonville. My name is Josh McCarthy here with News 104.5 WOKV, and I want to welcome you to another weekend of the Ask the Experts weekend. And this expert show is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. Pete, the job guy Langlois, introduces his listeners to Jacksonville's most innovative companies, and he explores the career journeys behind some of Jacksonville's top influential individuals. And this is all done, all of it, with an honest and entertaining filter that is unique to Pete Langlois, the hard worker himself. Take it away, Pete.
You hard workers, welcome to this Sunday morning. Guys, look, we got a little rain this weekend, right? We needed that rain. Everything's been so hot, 97 degrees or above for at least 10, 11, 12 days. It's been crazy. We got the rain. Now it's time to what? We don't cry because it's raining. We embrace the rain. We like the rain. It's good for us. Going to make everything green. Going to make this a good day, a cooler day. As you just heard Josh say, this show is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. Now, I don't know anybody that is just sitting on a huge pile of $100 bills and just peels them off, throws them off into the air. Everybody I know, we're not trust fund babies. We all work. And the people around us work. Our parents worked. Our children are going to work. We're all workers, right? So this show is dedicated to helping you or the people you know to be more effective and productive in the workforce. And if you've just joined us and you stumbled across this show, each week I tell you little stories and things about myself and my career journey. I tell you where maybe I've taken a left where I should have taken a right. And I tell you this not to beat myself up, but to help you maybe avoid a pitfall that I've taken where I've skinned my knees, so to speak, in my work life. And if I tell you about it, my career journey, maybe it'll help you along the way. And each week I have guests that make you think a little bit. And my guests are always some of Jacksonville's most influential people. And it's no different today. But before we get started and I introduce my guest, I'm going to invite everybody, grab a pen and paper, maybe jot down some notes. And the notes that you're going to take are going to be something that you'll do a little bit differently as a result of listening to the show. Because you're going to hear a nugget or two if you stay, especially if you stay until the end. You're going to be entertained, I promise you that. Number two, you're going to learn something. Number three, you will laugh. You will laugh during the show because this is a fun show. But guys, let's get right down to it. And I want to talk to you about, you know, years back, I was in the Navy. And when I first joined the Navy, I was up in Boston, Massachusetts, and I had to shovel so much snow you wouldn't believe it in the winter. And, you know, there's two seasons in Massachusetts. There's winter, it's one season, and the other one is road construction. That's it. It's one of the two seasons you get in Massachusetts. They're either shoveling the snow or fixing all the potholes. That's it. But, guys, you know, the Navy sent me down to Jacksonville, Florida, right here. And I planted roots, never left. Why? Because it's the river city by the sea. It's absolutely gorgeous, and this is my home. And they don't make walls in Massachusetts. So, you know, once I got out, I was out. But let me tell you, okay, and I don't want to beat up Massachusetts, but going to someplace completely different was weird. Okay, was hard. I was an 18, 19-year-old kid. The good thing about it for me is I was under direct orders. You will report here. You will live here. You will eat this food, and you will do this, that, and the other. A lot of you in the workforce get relocated. Maybe your job moves you someplace completely different. Or, you know, the job, your skill set is a better match in a different city, meaning you apply to a job and let's say you're in Jacksonville and now you have to move to Tennessee or Alabama, or Dallas or somewhere else. There are so many things that you have to consider if you're going to uproot yourself and go live somewhere else. It's not always all glamorous. You think, oh, great, I got a job. It's a 10K raise. I'm going to go to Dallas, Texas. It's fantastic. I can't wait. Well, then you find out certain things like, I mean, the cost of living might be much higher than you anticipated. And that raise actually puts you a little bit lower on the mean income scale than you are in your hometown. You know, you have to consider a lot of things. And that's I'm going to give you right now the top seven things you need to consider before you relocate or even consider relocating. OK, it's going to make your relocation a lot easier. The number one. And the first thing, before you relocate, consider your relationship, the relationship that you are in right now. If you're single and no kids, it's easy. Let's go. I'm going to pack my sea bag and go wherever. That's fine. Okay? But consider your relationship, your significant other. If you're married, if you have children, you know, what age are they? What schools will they go to? How will it impact them socially? What about, you know, if I'm married and my wife has a career, how does this impact her? What does she do? What's the job market look like for her? The very first thing you need to consider is that relationship and all the people that are impacted by your potential move. Number two, the second thing you have to look at is the company, and especially the company's numbers, okay? Whether it's your company that's moving you or you're going to a totally different company. Let's say you're considering another job and you're going to look at this company. The job might sound great. The money might sound great. But how's the company's trajectory? How are they performing now? How are they anticipating performing the next quarter or the next year? You need to dig in. Do your homework. The internet is your friend. You can find out a lot about that stuff via the internet, especially if it's a public company. But if it's not, you have the right to ask for the projections and the trajectory of the company, because that should be an enormous consideration. Number three, the new cost of living. I mentioned that. I'll tell you, years back, I worked for a large beverage distributor, and they had an opportunity up in Stamford, Connecticut. And I said, wow, and I looked, and it was at least a 25K raise for me. And I think back then, this dates me, I was going to make like 70K, which was an enormous amount of money for me back in the day. And for a lot of you, it's still a lot of money, but it was enough that I was like, wow, this puts me in the big time, right? But then the mean income was triple digits back then. I wasn't even near the mean income. And for Florida at the time, for me to have moved up there, I wouldn't, like in Florida, I could buy a whole house on the water. For up there, I couldn't even buy property for the same amount of money. So you really need to consider the cost of living. The next thing you need to look at is the stress of the move. Guys, the move is stressful. It takes time. It takes a lot of planning. Even if you don't have a lot of stuff, believe me, you have a lot of stuff. It is tough. And there's a lot of people out there. There's scammers out there that take advantage of people that move, especially people that have to move in a tight deadline. They're scammers. So you be careful who you give your information to, like property, rental. If you're a renter, there are these things that just kind of pop up and all they want is your personal information. Sure, we'll help you. Let's get your social. Let's get your digital driver's license number. And you never hear from them again. So you have to make sure there are reputable people that you engage with. The move can be less stressful with proper planning. The next thing, number five, is I want you to talk to colleagues. If it's your company that's moving you, talk to people that live there. Get in touch with other folks. What side of town should I live in? Where should I stay away from? What school systems are the best? What's so great about living there? If you could change a couple of things about the environment there, what's different? What do I need to know so that I can make an informed decision? And if you don't know anybody, it's a totally different company, you ask. Maybe the human resource person or the new boss that you have, can I get some information? Can you share with me some information about this city? Number six, consider the doggone weather. You know, you might go up there in the dead of summer and it's beautiful, and then in the winter you get 9 feet of snow, and then your wife or husband or your kids say, what did you do to us? What on earth did you do to us? You consider the weather. When I moved down to Florida, I wasn't used to 100% humidity every single day, and 90s weather every day, you know, the temperature and the humidity. I got these white circles all on my neck. I don't know what, some kind of fungus from the heat. It was ridiculous. You get some of that, Prel or some kind of shampoo that was some anti-dandruff shampoo, and it kills that fungus. But doggone it, I just wasn't used to it. Consider the weather and make sure that it's right for your climate. Some people have bad allergies, and this might not be for you, this place. And number seven, visit the place. Visit the location before you actually make the commitment to move there and plant roots and live there. And visit, it should be longer than a weekend. You know, you can't go for a couple of days, have a great experience in a hotel and think, wow, that's it. You know, a lot of times, depending on what your station is at the company, they'll move you or excuse me, they'll fly you out for a week, put you up in maybe corporate housing, or they'll let you stay for a week and really get a good look so you can make a more informed decision and you can have a good transition. Now, some of our moves, like I said, my move was kind of easy. You know, the Navy told me where to go, where to eat, had a place for me. And I, you know, I lived in the barracks and then I lived on the USS Saratoga. I had one room with 70 guys sleeping in the same room. And it was about the size of my bedroom right now. It was ridiculous how small it was. It was a great experience. You know, I learned the whole time, but all the decision making was done for me. I want you folks to make informed decisions whenever considering a relocation. And it's about time for me to introduce my guest right here. And I got a great guest, ladies and gentlemen. And when you talk about moves, this guy made the ultimate move, okay? He didn't just move down the street for his job. He moved across the pond. And the pond, I mean, is the Atlantic Ocean. He moved over here. And I want to introduce Nathan Walter, and he is the president and general manager of Jacksonville Armada FC. Welcome to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy, Nathan.
Morning, Pete. Morning. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, it was a transition, I tell you.
You know, you can hear the accent. You can tell where he's from.
It's a southern accent.
Yeah, it's a southern accent.
It's just an English southern.
Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, your role with the Armada and what you do?
Yeah. So as president and general manager, I oversee business operations of the club and soccer operations of the club. So on the business side, everything from marketing to budgeting to game day experience and everything that comes with the business side of the sports industry. And then on the soccer side, overseeing the technical staff, head coaches, players, signing players, releasing players.
All of it.
Everything, yeah. So, yeah, I have my hands in everything. So.
Is it weird to say soccer?
It was at first. Honestly, it was really difficult. But I've got to understand where I am, and that's part of moving, right, and transition. And I'm in America. It's called soccer. All my buddies at home laugh at me every single time I talk to them. But, it's soccer. We're in America.
Right. Well, let's talk about, like, where are you from? And I really want to get into that transition and how long that transition took you and all things considered.
Yeah. So I'm from a place just outside of London, about an hour north of London, in Northamptonshire, which is the county, in a little town called Wellingborough. And
Wellingborough.
Yeah, Wellingborough. The Wellingborough.
I don't know it. But
yeah, no, yeah. It's a tiny little town. Yeah. And not a great area, in all honesty. Here's a funny thing. Everybody thinks you're related to the Queen or the King, and you have high tea and
spotted tea. And crumpets.
Yes,
and
crumpets. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I miss crumpets. But I assure you, it's far from it. And it was a great place for me to understand what hard work was, to understand that.
So
life's
relatively
tough,
like humble beginnings.
Very, very humble beginnings. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very, very, very humbled. You know, I was brought up in a broken family as well, which is normal now these days. You know, unfortunately.
60% of marriages end in divorce, right here stateside anyway.
Yeah.
I product of a broken home myself.
Yeah.
It's the way we are.
It's normal.
I live with my mom. We say mom in Massachusetts. Yeah. I live with my mom growing up and it was tough.
Yeah, it's very difficult. Very difficult. So you've seen the struggles, you know.
Yeah.
It was very humble. The school I went to wasn't great. The housing estate next door to ours was actually the third worst in the whole of Europe.
Ooh.
If you can imagine that. So it was really, really a tough place to grow up, but a great place for me to understand that, you know, there's a different place in the world for people to come out of their box and get after it. And if you can get after it and you have a dream and, you know, you can make something of yourself. So
that's a consistent theme, no matter where you are. Hard work, perseverance, goals, and then more hard work.
Yeah,
and then
absolutely.
you can make anything happen, really. Were you a footballer from early on?
Yeah, so since I could walk, which I don't think, from what I'm told, I didn't crawl first. I walked straight up and kicked a soccer ball and then was in a professional academy from the age of, I think it was 8 when I first started in the pro academy. and then was released at 17. And so my whole life was the sport, and I didn't know anything else. And school was a secondary thing. You know, it's just the life that we were in. And when someone's telling you you don't have to go to school, you can play soccer all day, it's a no-brainer. So, you know, you're being pulled out of French class to go do extra PE, right, as the PE office was on the other side. So, no, yeah, it was a no-brainer for me. The sport was everything. And as I finished playing, unfortunately, I was released and given an opportunity to go into coaching. And my whole world opened up at that point.
Wow. Yeah. Sometimes you realize, okay, here's my vision. Okay. My vision isn't going to realize. And I'm going to digress here just a little bit, because this is our careers, guys. I want everybody to hear this, because our careers aren't linear. Okay, you start in one direction, you can have your goal, but guess what? For whatever reason, you can get derailed and things don't go exactly as you plan. It's like climbing a rock wall. You want to climb right to the top, but in order to get to the top, sometimes you have to climb back down, take a left, you know, go a little bit sidestep to reach a rock and get your foot in the crevice and move up a little bit. But our careers are a journey. They're not linear. And sometimes you get the lemons, but you look to transition that into making the lemonade. So you get into the coaching side and it kind of like, whoa, maybe this is what I was meant to do.
Yeah, and you know what? I never thought I would say this as a 10-year-old. You know, my dream was to be a professional soccer player and to represent England and so on and so on. And to now be sitting where I am, I could never imagine it. I could never have imagined the pathway that it took me on, you know. And I got into coaching. I was coaching at 18. And my gosh, I fell in love with it. Like, I would prefer coaching than playing. And it was this strange transition, but it was something that, again, my passion grabbed me. Mm-hmm. And it was an amazing little experience, because all I knew was playing.
Right. So now you are successful in playing the sport, now successful in coaching the sport. How does that transition to the business element of it and actually running the show?
Yeah. So I was really fortunate at a really early age, actually, at 20 years of age, to be an area manager of the professional soccer club I was working for in England. And I was overseeing 9 coaches, you know, running 42 programs, and there's about $500,000 in revenue.
Okay,
you know,
I don't know a lot about England, but that's got to be unheard of at age 20.
Yeah, it was. And I did my coaching courses very young. I was one of the youngest qualified coaches at 18. And, you know, it moved really quickly. But when I actually look back at it, I actually felt I transitioned okay. You know, when you look back and sometimes you're like, oh, that could have been a disaster. But actually, I transitioned well. And I think a lot of people saw that, which then gave me the opportunity and opened up doors for me to be where I am here.
Well, I'm sure you earned it, and people saw things in you that they said, well, we need to advance this guy and give him a bigger splash. So how do you get from England to the United States? And let's talk about that, kind of all the considerations and what was going through your head at that time, because other people might be considering a big job change and a shift and a transition or a big move, and they'd love to hear
absolutely. So, you know, what you discussed earlier on with your 7 pointers, and one of them really stuck out to me was having an experience before you actually make the leap by going there and visiting and so on and so on. Well, I was really, really fortunate that a work experience opportunity came up with Major League Soccer, and it was camps and clinics. And in the place that you say, Massachusetts, I was in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Oh, you said it correctly. Worcester.
Yeah. Worcester, yep. I was in Massachusetts, Worcester, for 3 months back in, I think it was 2010. And I'll be completely frank with you. I wasn't sure when I was on that flight over if I was going to enjoy America. Mm-hmm. I fell in love with the place. And it was just, the people were amazing. The children that you got to interact with were fantastic. So I do this 3 months of experience, and I love America. Well, a couple of weeks into my experience in America, I actually was evaluated by the CEO of the company at the time, a guy called Nick Dunbar. And he gave me these high grades. It was fantastic. My evaluation went really, really well. And I get a call from a gentleman called Alan Huff, who actually back in England lived 30 minutes from where, you know, where I was brought up. And he was the regional director. And unfortunately, he wasn't in the region at the time. He was down in Texas. And he's like, look, the company loves you. We want to bring you back out. And I was like, okay, you know, I'm really unsure because, you know, this was just meant to be work experience. I work for, you know, a great company in England, and I know they want me to, you know, keep furthering on in my role there. So he's like, okay, look, go back to England, think about it, you know, so on and so on. So I decide not to come back to America and stay in England. And I love my job. It was unbelievable. I mean, I was working 9 to 10 o'clock at night, but it was worth it. You know, it was everything that I wanted.
When you have that passion, you don't watch the clock,
do you? No, you don't watch the clock. Absolutely not. And by all means, salary-wise, it was terrible. It was terrible. Mm-hmm. But there was a bigger passion for me to do it, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody used to tell me, and I used to do a lot of free stuff as well. And even my parents, Nathan, why are you doing free stuff? Like, what is that doing? You know, you can't live like that.
Right.
But I will tell you this. When I was, it was 19, I was working 4 jobs. I would go to an electrical company in the morning. I'd work from 6 a.m. till 12 noon. I would finish that. I would then go coach, which was my love of the day. So from 2:30 to 5 o'clock, I would work in after-school programs doing soccer. Then I'd go to a local fish and chip shop. I would work there from 6 o'clock till it was about 11:30. I'd run upstairs quickly, have a shower at the fish and chip shop, and then go over to my cousin's pub and bartend and pick glasses up till 3 a.m. in the morning. And the other 3 jobs was what I did to make sure that I could focus on the soccer piece.
I hope everybody hears this. I mean, boy, if this isn't my show, my show is called Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy, because I tell everybody everything can be accomplished with hard work. Hard work, perseverance, a plan, and then more hard work. That's the recipe.
That's exactly
it. But sometimes your hard work is what makes all the other stuff possible. And in your case, I mean, it's to the T. That's exciting. So here you are working the 4 jobs. You're following your passion. You're making it 3 of those jobs, make that one available to you so that you can follow it. And then where?
Yeah, then I take this giant leap 6 months later. Mm-hmm. 6 months later, I think it was June 2011 at some point, something like that. And the company calls me back up and they're like, come on, we have this opportunity in Orlando, Florida. We're starting a new soccer consultant franchise. We want you to come in. Are you up for it? And I remember this very clearly. I was with a bunch of my mates. There was probably 8 of us playing pool. And, you know, we're drinking beer and, you know, we're having a good time. And I turned to one of my mates and I said, I just got this email for a job opportunity again in America. And he looks at me and goes, why don't you take it? Like, why? Why don't you? And for some reason, it just stuck with me. And I had a couple of, you know, really important mentors at the time. And they all said to me, don't do it. You know, you're going to be where you are in 15, 20 years. You know, don't worry. Take your time. Like, you're going to get there.
Right.
And I'm a very impatient individual, Pete, which my wife will tell you.
Yeah.
And I did it. I took a leap of faith and I jumped and I did it. And with 2 weeks of being in the United States, I wanted to go back home.
Yeah, that's the first thing when you move. It's like, you know, I know when I first came down here, I was homesick. It's totally different. You're not used to it. There's a lot of challenges, and you're just pulled. There's a strong pull back, and you went through that.
My biggest issue was, I feel I transitioned really well and everything. Mine was the soccer piece. It goes back to that passion piece, right? And you've gone from coaching unbelievable talented children, and then you're put into a position where it's like, well, actually, this, you know, it's not the level that I thought it was going to be. And then you're kind of questioning, like, have I made the right choice here?
Mm.
You know, so I'm 2 weeks in Orlando, and then all of a sudden, we get a call from a club, Ponte Vedra Soccer Club, up in Jacksonville, Florida. And, you know, they're like, look, we want you guys to come in, consult. You know, we come into youth clubs and we consult on player pathway, coach education, administration, all of that kind of stuff. And I move up to Jacksonville. I'm here for 6 months. And then I meet the most amazing thing that could ever happen in my life, and that was my wife.
And it all changed.
It all completely changed. Everything changed at that point, Pete.
Yeah, that's when it changes, right? Then you're like, you know what? I think I'll hang out just a little bit
longer.
So, and now, everything, as we talked about, everything happened kind of quickly. Like, and you've, we won't say your marriage happened quickly or you know, meeting a wife, but you came up through the ranks pretty quickly. You know, you earned it, you facilitated it, you made it happen. Now, even now as president and GM, you've got to be one of the youngest, if not the youngest, right? I mean, I don't know.
No, if you look across American sports right now in soccer, I am the youngest president and GM in the country. So yeah, it's you know, you don't really think about it a lot. I don't think about it a lot, but I know it's there. And it's a lot of responsibility, you know, and sometimes I feel it, you know, I feel the responsibility because, you know, with the stuff that we're going through with the club currently and the hurdles that we're jumping and navigating through, you know, it's not an easy role. And for being so young and having that responsibility, it's a strong cause and feeling, you know.
Right. Is it still, you feel the passion still?
Oh, I love that every day I get up and yeah. My wife will tell anyone, you know, soccer runs through the blood. It literally does. There's balls, you know, beeping through the heart every day, you know. But that's what drives it, you know.
I love to hear that. You know, that music that we're hearing right now, that tells us we're coming to the bottom of the hour break. Guys, I have Nathan Walter, president and general manager of Armada Football Club, right? Jacksonville Armada, right here. And, guys, I want you to come back and join us for the second half. You're listening to Hard Worker with me, Pete the Job Guy, on News 104.5 WOKV. Do the hustle. Welcome back, all you hard workers. This is Hard Worker with me, Pete the Job Guy, and today's guest is Nathan Walter. Nathan is the president and general manager of the Jacksonville Armada Football Club, and we're happy to have him. Welcome back, Nathan.
Thank you. Thanks, Pete.
Now, if you haven't heard the first part and you're just joining us, boy, we've heard all about his interesting career journey. He is the youngest president and GM. And you know what, Nathan, I want to ask you this. Okay, what did you learn from all your experiences earlier? What's really helped you to perform well, and what kind of sticks with you right now, maybe as your guiding principles based on all the career things? And we've heard a lot, you know, what's kind of guiding you and what stuck with you from your early career?
Yeah, you know, you've said it a few times, and hard work, you can't beat it. That's one, that principle. I would assure you, no one can outwork me. I look at anybody in the face and say, you will not outwork me. And that's a principle I live by. And I tell my kids that every single day, you know, you may not be great at something, but just work hard and everything will fall into place. The other thing is you know, we say this a lot, or you hear it a lot, and everything happens for a reason, right? And you can't connect the dots at the time, but when you look back, the dots will connect. And meeting my wife, who I never had a real spiritual background before moving to America, in all honesty, is having faith, you know, faith in the process, faith in that, like, you're doing things right. And my wife's really been able to kind of, you know, put that message into me. And it's like, just have faith, like, things are going to work out. Are you being a good person? Are you working hard? Are you doing the right things? Yes, you are. You're ticking those boxes. Have faith that it's going to work out. And they're the key principles. Yeah. Don't do bad to people. Like, right. just work hard, believe in yourself, have faith in the process. And probably the third thing, which is the hardest thing for me, and I already mentioned it earlier, is having some patience. You know, be patient. And you're perfectly right. Like, the channel may not be open. The door may not be open at that time. But again, there's a reason why that door is closed. The door will open at the right time when you're ready for it. Be patient. And that is the biggest thing I've probably had to learn.
That is outstanding advice. You know, I'll tell you one thing. There's a lot of people that are in jobs right now that they don't like, and they're kind of suffering, and they might have one eye out looking for something else. Advice I give to those folks are, even though that isn't your destination, you still owe yourself, your employer, your family. You owe it to especially really to your employer and to yourself, to do everything you can. Do your absolute best. Even if it's a go-nowhere job for you, still do your best. You know why? Because the person that's working next to you might be your manager at your next job, and they'll remember if you mailed it in or you didn't do your best. Always work your hardest, do your best, no matter what your station is and no matter how happy you are where you're at. Unless, if your name's on the shingle and you got a ton of money and you want to do whatever you want and relax and sit on the couch and watch Oprah all day, do that. Okay, but until you get to that station, you give it, you work your hardest. I'm going to ask you this question. I ask all my guests this, and I want you to get a little introspective right now. You can go back and tell young Nathan, Nathan, here's some advice I'm going to give you right now. Maybe when you're 19, 20 years old, or even before that, if you want. I want to give you this advice, and this is going to help you in life. What advice would you give your younger self?
Yeah, you know, we are our own CEO at the end of the day. You know, you may not be given the title, you may not, but at the end of the day, you represent yourself and you are your own CEO. So always, you know, I say that to people a lot. Like you may, again, what you just said, like you may not like the situation you're in, you may not understand the situation you're in, but you are your own CEO. And if I had to look at Nathan back, you know, 10, 11 and, or 12, whenever, and all my focus was on being a professional soccer player, right? Is that, Nathan, you're your own CEO. Things are going to work out for you. Things are not going to work out for you. But you've got to go with the flow as well. You know, you one of the things, you want to control your destiny, right?
Right.
You can't. Simple as. You can control the work. You can control, like, you being a good person. But where your end goal is going to be, you can dream about it. You can know about it. But it will happen when it happens. And, yeah, be your own CEO. You know, you represent yourself at the end of the day. No one represents you. Control what you can do. Where you're going to go, you can't control. It's just going to be amazing. Yeah. Like if you're doing the right things, it is going to be amazing. You're going to experience some amazing things. Yeah, be respectful and be your CEO.
That is outstanding. Guys, Nathan, I really want to thank you for joining me on Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy today. Nathan, again, is the president and GM of the Jacksonville Armada. Thank you for your sharing your Sunday and some great advice with all the hard workers listening to the show today. Thank you.
Thank you, Pete. Really appreciate it. Thank you, everyone. Do the hustle.
Oh, that was great, Nathan. Be your own CEO. That's fantastic advice. Guys, remember, not only am I Pete the Job Guy, I'm also Pete Langlois, and I run S&I companies in town. If you need any staffing assistance, myself, me, Pete the Job Guy, or my whole team at S&I companies, we're happy to help you out. We mainly place accounting, finance, general office, administrative, clerical, IT, technology professionals, and HR administrative and marketing. Okay. IT, accounting, and administrative. Those are our bread and butter. 904-713-2550. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you need landscaping lights, if you need irrigation systems, if your sprinklers don't reach your whole yard and you need some help, there's one call I make. It's to Houlihan Territory, 904-285-8505. They put in the wells. You need a well. You need a real deep well. One call. Houlihan Territory. There's only one person I've used, and this has been for many years. Back at the last place I lived in Jack's Golf, now I'm in Isle of Palms. You come and look at my lawn. I have perfect sprinkler coverage, and Scott and his whole team take care of me. Houlihan Territory, 904-285-8505. And make sure you tell them Pete the Job Guy sent you, and you'll be happy with them. Guys, each week we get a leadership lesson from Coach Larry. He is a career expert. He is a certified coach. He spent his life in the business community. He offers advice to managers and leaders that really want to be effective leaders. With no further ado, let's get our leadership lesson now from Coach Larry.
I can't believe I've done 27 episodes of Leadership Lessons with Coach Larry, and I haven't done one on delegation. Leaders, listen to me. You will not be able to achieve your goals if you don't delegate your goals. Yes, I just made that up. Early in my career, I got promoted to be the team leader of my former peers. I loved the people I worked with, Linda, Sanford, Scott, and Elizabeth. It was intimidating to now being the boss of people who you cared for and respected. I really did not want to screw it up, but that's exactly what I did. As I got new tasks, I thought, you know, I'm good at this and I enjoy doing it, so I'll just take this one on. New day, new task, I think. I could give this to Sanford, but you know, he's too busy mapping the metadata universe. I'll just do it myself. Or this has to be done immediately and it's high priority, so it will take too long to give it to someone and explain it. I'll just do this one. Then you fast forward 3 months into my career as a manager, and I'm overwhelmed and angry that I have no time, and no one seems to want to help me. Plus, a baby's on the way. And whose fault was that? Is it true that no one wanted to help me? Nope. Is it true that I was overwhelmed and angry? Yep. And that's just it. People wanted to help. They had all the talents in the world. They wanted to take on more, but I couldn't get over my own mindset about delegation. I had many excuses. They're too busy. I know how to do it and how to do it right. It's faster if I can do it, or I want the recognition, sad to say. One day I asked my best friend Chris, who has been a leader since I've known him in grammar school, and I asked him, "What makes you so good at delegation?" He says, "Lar," he says, as he drained a 6-foot putt, "I think of it this way. Every day I get to my law office and I log in. My default mindset is to think, what am I not going to do today? I know that I can't do everything. I know that this is the best way to develop people. And I know that when I assign a task, it will take me longer to teach that person how to do it than doing it myself. And when I get it back, it'll be about 70% right. And I'm going to have to take more time to work with that person to get it right. Then I'll get that task again, or a similar task. When I go to that person the next time, it will take me a shorter amount of time to delegate it. And I'll get it back now at 90% right. The next time, it'll just take me moments to delegate that task, and it'll come back probably better than if I've done it myself. And now I have an annuity, meaning I don't have to do that task anymore. It's completely off my plate. So I like to say that either you pay a little now and delegate it, or you pay a lot later when it comes to delegation. If you don't develop your team, you're going to find yourself overwhelmed and angry just like I was. And are people going to feel sorry for you? Nope. You deserved it, just as I deserved it. Here are a couple of rules around delegation that I like to follow. Don't delegate only the crap work. Sure, there is stuff that we don't like to do, and sometimes we have to spread that around. But think of delegation as a way of developing and energizing people. Second, always have a conversation when you hand the task over. Be thoughtful of who you're giving the task to and why. And share that with them. I'm giving this to you because you express an interest in diversity and inclusion. And I believe you're going to do an excellent job. I mean, wouldn't you love it if your leader came to you and said that to you? Finally, delegation doesn't mean you simply hand over the task and never think about it again. This is a great opportunity to share feedback to the individual on how they did. After all, you are still responsible as a leader. So thanks for listening. As always, share with me your challenges that you've experienced and topics you'd like to learn more about. And if you want me to come in and do a workshop on delegation, simply reach out to me via my website, www.mendozaandobrien.com. See you next time.
All right, and another gem from Coach Larry. Coach Larry is Larry O'Brien, MendozaAndO'Brien.com. His weekly updates, I'm so happy to have him as a weekly contributor because he helps make people more effective, and that's what this show is all about, doggone it. And delegation, come on. I delegated my show to Lori Day a couple weeks ago. She did an amazing job. Thank you for all your email. I've passed it along to Lori. Yes, it was great. Her guests, Michelle and Dolores, were fantastic. And Lori Day will be back to guest host again. Yes, yes, she did a fantastic. She might even replace me one day. Who knows, doggone it. Okay, this next segment of the show is kind of funny. You may recall, if you're a regular listener to the show, a man named David Mosier and I had a conversation. His human resource director green-lighted me to call him and walk him through a scenario. I had no idea what I was walking into. And if you go back and listen, you can always go to PeteTheJobGuy.com. And it was about 3 weeks ago that we had this conversation, and it was kind of funny. And so people wrote in, that was kind of farcical, or was that real? And others were like, why didn't you say this to him or do this? I'm going to tell you, is it credible? Is it real? I don't know. You be the judge. But I asked David to send me an update periodically, and he complied. He sent me something called Dockers, is what he titled it. I haven't listened to it. I'm going to listen to it with you. And this is his little segment, and this is David Mosier. We'll call it the Chronicles of David Mosier. Well, with no further ado, let's play David's update that he sent me.
Hey everybody, it's Dave Mosier from upstate, calling in again to share some experiences I'm having working with corporate HR on casual Friday policies. I'm thinking that if I can share some of this with you, maybe others have a similar experience and we can work together to see if we can correct some of these problems. I've read the casual Friday documentation where I work very carefully, and it says the normal kinds of things, you know, guys can wear Dockers and this types of things on Fridays, as well as, you know, other things, the collared shirt and stuff like that. It seemed pretty clear to me when I read it, so there seems to be confusion about the term Dockers, because I have several packs of boxer briefs that are Docker brand, and I interpreted the term Docker as applying to the Docker brand, and I've now twice wore in my Docker boxer briefs into casual Friday and gotten some strange looks as I'm making my way through the hall or trying to attend a meeting. I will say that these are actually not the Docker. They're shorter than the Docker brief that comes down a little longer. They're like the Docker brief or something. They're about mid-thigh. And I've had people complain that they don't think it's appropriate for the workplace to be wearing that kind of garment. Now, just to help you out, I'm a middle-aged, hairy, white guy that, I'm not an Olympic athlete or, a fitness guy. I could work out a little bit more and probably could get a little more sun. So the contrast between the black boxer brief or whatever you call them, the Docker thing, and my skin, I guess, is, in the words of one HR guy, I believe he used the word jarring or startling, which I thought I was taken back by that. I thought that was pretty tough language for what I was doing. So I've done this twice now, and I've received a warning that if the next time I wear just boxer briefs to work on a casual Friday, I'll be asked to go home. So I'd like to hear what other people have to say about this and what, you know, what they're wearing on casual Fridays and how they interpret the term Docker. I'll keep an ear on, see what everybody has to say.
Okay. That just happened. These are the ongoing chronicles, the HR chronicles of David Mosier. Is it real? You be the judge. But it is phenomenal, and you can't get away from the radio. Once you begin listening to that, you got to listen to the end. So I hope David keeps sending me these updates. So that's fantastic. That one's Dockers. All right, guys, remember, I'm Pete the Job Guy. Pete Langlois, I run SNI Companies here in town. We're a specialty provider of staffing services right here in Jacksonville. I've been doing it for 20 years. I am a career expert. I can help you if you need a job, especially if it's in accounting, finance, IT, clerical, administrative. We can help you. I'm surrounded by the area's best recruiters, and just call me, 904-713-2550. You can ask for me, Pete the Job Guy, or anybody on my team. We'll be happy to help you. And guys, always remember, go to my website, PeteTheJobGuy.com. You can listen to any one of my past episodes. They're all there. You get to listen to my great guests give advice. We isolate Coach Larry's segments. A lot of people like to, gather up their leaders and their managers and sit and listen to Coach Larry's segment and then talk about how you're going to employ his strategies or his advice throughout the week. So that's gaining popularity. So PeteTheJobGuy.com. Now, if you want to give a shout out to somebody, it's their birthday or they accomplished something special or it's their anniversary, right there under weekly contributors is Boston Danny. Boston Danny gives a shout out like only Boston Danny can. You know what? With no further ado, let's listen to our Boston update with Boston Danny.
Hello, Jacksonville. Boston Danny here with your update from the just warmed up north, so everybody's happy up here with knowing that we got summer coming. It's finally showed up. Got some nice days. Everyone's loving it. Everything's green as it's going to get because of all the rain and that we've had, but it's beautiful here. So I really haven't talked too much about the Bruins only because I don't want to jinx them, but, they're the real deal, folks. We're going into it, and we hope that we can bring another championship home. I'll let you know how the parade is, hopefully. I'm telling you, though, they're no joke. We're playing these guys. They're very tough. St. Louis has played a tough, hard game. I know you guys aren't really into hockey, but if you get a chance, you should watch it. It's a lot of fun. Fast-paced. Everything goes on. Everything's going good up here. Traffic's still as crazy as it's ever been. We're still nuts as we can get. Big building booms. Everybody's working hard. We're doing our things up here. So I got to make it quick this week, but I got a bunch of shout-outs for you. I got a really big shout-out to Courtney for having a baby, Noah. And by doing so, she made Jennifer a grandmother. Congratulations to you, Courtney. I know how it feels. I'm about to be a grandfather myself. So I also got a birthday shout-out for Ashley Jimison, Jan Burnett, Crystal Hasbury, Tom Stranosh, and a special happy birthday to Tammy Allen Coons. You know how I say it, folks. It's your day. Celebrate it. Do something unusual for yourself and have a wicked pisser birthday. Hope all your birthday wishes come right through for you. Keep making them. So for all you hard workers, keep up the good work. Peter, so glad to talk to you again. We'll be in touch pretty soon. And everybody have a great Boston weekend. Take care.
Oh, great job, Boston Danny. Yes, and a special shout-out to Courtney and baby Noah and making Mama Jennifer a grandmother. Oh, I love it. I love it. Guys, you've been listening to Hard Worker with me, Pete the Job Guy. I am a professional recruiter. I am a career expert. I've spent 20 years finding people jobs, and in those 20 years, I have literally placed thousands of people. Some of the people that I placed as a staff accountant 20 years ago, they're now the CFO. Who do they call? When they need help, they call Pete the Job Guy. 904-713-2550. If you have a topic you would like to see addressed, or perhaps you might want to be a guest on my show, you can always reach out to me, Pete at PeteTheJobGuy.com. That music tells us it's time to wrap. We've had a great, great show. My guest was Nathan Walter. He is the president and general manager of the Jacksonville Armada FC Football Club. We're so glad to hear him. Be your own CEO, like Nathan said. So proud to have him on the show. Guys, I want you to go out there and get him this week. Remember, hard work, perseverance, goals, and a plan, plus another healthy dose of hard work will help you accomplish your goals. You've just listened to Hard Worker with me, Pete the Job Guy, on News 104.5 WOKV.